This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back right here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Thanks so much for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine, 8 to 9, right here on The Fan. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show without Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. In fact, there's no Mason or Mitch today. Sparky filling in from 9 to 11 on the Mason Crosby Show, which is always a beautiful thing because Sparky is amazing and we love hearing from him as much as possible. So looking forward to that from 9 to 11 today with Sparky. Right now, however, speaking of wonderful things, we've got the amazing Dusty Evely, acmepackingcompany.com, Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find him on social media, both on Twitter and Blue Sky, at Dusty Evely. Dusty, it is wonderful to be chatting with you, my friend. How have you been?
Man, I've been good. Thanks for having me on. Good talking to you. I'm excited to talk a little ball now that free agency's calmed down a little, ramping up to the draft. I'm excited, dude.
Yeah, it's a good spot to be in. We kind of have had the opportunity to unwrap some of these presents with Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, and McCole Hardman a little bit and start looking forward to some of the presents that we're going to be unwrapping come draft day in Green Bay. We're going to talk about all of that. Before we get there, of course, I got to ask you, I don't know, are you a March Madness guy? Are you a college basketball guy? Is your bracket doing all right? How are you feeling about things so far?
I live in Central Kentucky, so I have to be a college basketball guy.
All right.
I don't watch a lot of college basketball during the year, but I am a big March Madness guy. It's been busy at work, so I didn't get to watch nearly as much as I wanted to yesterday, but, you know, got as much in as I could. Bracket's looking, man, better than it has in years. I got the McNeese thing. I think I've got the I had Creighton over Louisville. I went to UK, so I'm a Louisville hater, so I got that one right. It's looking good. All of my big teams are still in it, which usually after day one, I cannot say. So I'm feeling good about myself this year. I think this is the year, Andy.
I love that for you. From a Kentucky standpoint, and more specifically as a Louisville hater, what's the correct pronunciation, easy for me to say, of Louisville in Kentucky?
Yeah, it depends on where you go. I mean, I was not born here, so it was named after King Louis. So technically it's Louisville, but usually I hear Louisville is generally the way it goes.
I just love the hardest pronunciation, but is the best way, I think. So I'm just going with that from moving on forward. But yeah, that was a fun game for them yesterday. All right, we've got a lot of Packers stuff to discuss. So I know you've done film breakdowns. I know we both have had the opportunity to kind of go through. I finally got to Nate Hobbs yesterday to spend some time watching him. But let's start with Aaron Banks. Your review of him when you got the opportunity to go through the film. What did you see on tape of Aaron Banks?
I don't really get this one. I mean, so my initial thoughts, a big body, he can move. He does seem, I mean, the Packers went to, you know, still zone-based, so I think that makes sense there. But they do a lot of gap scheme stuff, a lot of pulling, specifically a lot of pulling of the left guard, which was Jenkins, so that probably has something to do with it. Banks can move. Like, he's got good movement skills for a guy his size. But when he moves and the picture changes on him, he seems like he gets a little lost sometimes, kind of has a hard time lining dudes up.
Yep.
He can do it, but the consistency isn't there. He seems to me suited more as just a strict zone guy. Like, when he can kind of pin a guy down, when he can kind of hit and climb to the next level, even some of that stuff is a little clunky, but that's where he's at his best, I feel like, is kind of in the zone game. So the Packers have built their line, seems like, with a priority of, we could pull all five guys anytime. Like, even like Jordan Morgan drafting last year, like, we can pull all five guys. I don't know, like, you can pull Banks, and I think it's tempting to say to do that because he is a body. He's a big dude who can move. I just don't think that's where he's at his best. So it does feel like with moving Jenkins to center, I think they like him there. They pulled Josh Myers a decent amount, but a lot of the play-action stuff, they were pulling Jenkins on at a left guard. So I wonder, I don't know how they handle that. I do feel like it's probably more pulling lead out of center, which they had done, but I feel like maybe that's your pivot point now. Maybe they kind of like that out of their offense, that they can pull the center that way on a regular basis, and they kind of lock Banks down into that left guard thing. But I don't know. I'm curious. Maybe they see something in him that they think, we can coach Banks up, we can make him better than he was at this part of his game. But given where for years trying to move to a more pole-centric run game, and finally got there last year, this feels like kind of an odd signing for them, for a guy who I think doesn't operate his best when asked to do that stuff.
That's what I'm a little bit, you know, sort of perplexed by as well, is exactly, you know, just kind of what the thinking is here. Yeah, I think when we talked to Rob Domofsky last week, he said something of like, hey, you know, trust the scouts in the building. They see something that maybe like the PFFs of the world don't see and things like that. I throw on the tip. I mean, to your point, I see the athleticism immediately. I can see the vision. The vision's not super hard to see of like who he is as a player. This would maybe be something a little bit different for me if he was coming from like some barren wasteland of a team like the Giants or the Raiders or the Browns, that where they sometimes pick players up from, and it's like, well, yeah, they clearly didn't know how to use him or something. He's coming from San Francisco, playing next to Trent Williams in a very friendly offense, in an offense that was very well fit for his skill set, and is now basically coming over to a similar style offense in Green Bay. I'm sure there can be some projection there, and I'm sure they feel like maybe they can bring him to another level, but it's not like he's coming from this terrible situation in San Francisco.
Yeah, and it feels like the stuff that he struggled with in San Francisco, like you said, similar-ish offense, the stuff they struggled with there is also the stuff they're going to ask him to do. Like you said, it's not, we're projecting, but we're not projecting that much. Like,
it is, no,
still, he's going to be doing roughly the same stuff, and he struggled with that stuff. So, like you said, this seemed like an area, more than anything, this signing felt to me like we need to shore up the guard position. We want to move Jenkins to center, or we need to do something. Maybe they want to move Jenkins to center. Maybe they didn't. We got to shore up the position because we don't love our options of free agency that much. We don't love what we have in the draft. We got a little money to play with. If we overpay for a body that we think can be like solid or average at this position, let's do it. Then we don't have to worry about it. And we don't feel like we're reaching in the draft for a draft we don't love, like the interior offensive class. That it feels like that, even then, like, I know they can get out of it after 2 years. It feels like an overpay based on, I think, what we've seen out of him. So I'm curious to see how this plays out.
And I love this idea too. Yes, they absolutely can get out of it after 2 years. There is that lever to pull. If he only plays 2 years in Green Bay, his total cost against the cap over a 3 year period of time will be $47.4 million, which will have cost them $23.7 million per year. So it's like, yeah, great, you got out of him after 2 years. It probably means that he didn't play very great because you're trying to get out of the deal after 2 years, and you paid $47.4 million for him in that time frame of him only playing 2 years. So yeah, great that you can get out of it. It still ends up not being a great thing for Green Bay. The one one thing that I will say is I do think he has the ability to upgrade the line over what Josh Myers was these past couple of seasons. So it doesn't have this like, oh my goodness, they got an impact player on the offensive line. But going from what I thought was a net negative in Josh Myers to I think what can be maybe even if it's a slight net positive in Aaron Banks, I do still think that's a solid upgrade along the offensive line and can help this team be better in 2025.
100% agree with that, yeah.
Let's go to Nate Hobbs. Like I said, I had the opportunity to finally get through some of his film yesterday. What was your initial reactions to him when you threw him on?
I love him. I love him so much, man. So I wrote about him at Acme Packing Company. I went through a bunch of his stuff. I mean, the line on him for me is if healthy, this is perfect. Like he's physical and aggressive, obviously played a lot of slot. So we got to see him play against the run, and his stuff against the run, truly special. Like his demeanor, his attitude, his attacking against the run is so much fun. He loves to play up on the line, which we know, year two of Halfley, we know what we've seen on Halfley that I really like last year is his ability to kind of like change and update what he wants to do based on the players he has, which seems small, but we've seen coaches not do that. But what he really wants to do is he wants physical dudes. He wants press. If you ever listen to Halfley talk about press, like, you know, he wants to press guys off the line. Hobbs can do that. He's again, physical without getting flagged a whole lot. Although there's certainly times that he got away with more than a few things down the field. But he wants to hit you. He wants to be up on the line. He loves setting an edge, in the run game. He loves taking on blockers. There are times, I think one of my issues with him, he can be a little stiff. He can get beat off the line, a little stiff at times. He's got like speed to make up for that vertically. But where he really got into trouble is like a split release off the line that then he kind of gives up to the inside, and the guy runs like an in cutter on him, like a dig route at 15 yards. He can't recover for that. Like a little stiff at the top of that stuff. So middle of the field could be open a bit. Hobbs, against wide receiver ones, wide receiver two, guys who can beat him off the line. I feel like that's an issue. But in terms of attitude, play style, how I think Halfley wants him to play, this is a perfect signing. I feel like, again, if healthy, because that's the major issue here, right?
Yeah, he has had some injury issues. One of the plays that you mentioned against like a top wide receiver before things kind of got weird with Deontay Johnson last year, that Deontay Johnson in Carolina had that play where just had him in a spin cycle off the line of scrimmage and got the easy release inside, ends up being a pretty big game. A couple couple things that I really loved, just statistically kind of about it. Zero penalties this past year, which is, especially as a slot corner, it's just really, really tough. And like you said, sometimes you can get away with maybe a couple things, but no penalties and just a real lack of penalties in his career in total, which usually shows that he's not a panicky guy. And I think you definitely saw a little bit of that on tape as well. And then the longest play that he's given up in 4 years of playing pretty significant snaps at corner is 39 yards. He's never allowed to play over 39 yards in his career, which is pretty impressive as well. How do you see him fitting specifically within this Jeff Halfley defense?
I mean, I think they've said, I mean, one of the thoughts is, he's going to be your starter. Because I'm curious how the cornerback room shakes out. But if he is, say, your outside corner and base, which a lot of teams play a lot of that stuff in condensed formations anyway. So outside is more or less slot alignment with a lot of some of the base offense stuff anyway. So it's not that big of a deal. And then you bump him into slot. For some of that stuff where he can be closer to the line. I mean, he also seems like maybe you can put him in like kind of like a joker role, kind of like you have him hovering around the line, something like that. I like his instincts on that. So if they want to get in their base stuff, if they want to play base but still have like basically nickel personnel, if they want to have him like as overhang, something more like kind of outside linebacker type of alignment type of thing, stand-up guy, I feel like he could give you some value there. But I think it seems like outside and base, and then slot in nickel, feels like that makes sense. I mean, that raises questions. I'm trying to figure, once Jair stuff shakes out, I'm probably write something about this as well, but I think, they drafted Bullard to kind of do some of that slot stuff, and he struggled there for sure, but I don't think you could give up on a guy after 1 year. So if Hobbs is your slot in nickel, I'm curious what becomes of Bullard and stuff like that. So I think in terms of their personnel, I don't know how everything shakes out. We feel like just him, the player, if he's outside, base downs, and then if you slot him inside when they're playing nickel, that feels about perfect for him.
I wonder if they have two different nickel packages, like a big nickel and then like more of an obvious passing down nickel, kind of like they showed at times a little bit last year, but and maybe use a little bit more of that where sort of your base nickel is Bullard in the slot with Hobbs and Nixon on the outside. And then your more obvious passing down nickel is, you know, when you're going against 11 personnel, Javon Bullard comes out, Hobbs goes in the slot, Nixon stays outside, and then as of now, probably Carrington Valentine outside unless Jair stays or unless they grab a better corner in the draft, and just maybe take Bullard off the field a little bit more in those obvious passing situations, which is, I think, where he struggled more, where if you're against more, you know, 12 personnel and he can do a little bit more banging in the run game, I feel like in those situations, Bullard makes a little bit more sense in the slot.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Yeah, and I think Hobbs has the kind of the physicality to match up with tight ends and some of that stuff as well, so yeah, I think I'd be down with that for sure.
I get so excited talking to Dusty Evely that I forget to remind you that I'm talking to Dusty Evely from Acme Packing Company, Packaday Podcast. You can find him on social media at Dusty Evely. Of course, the other signing was Mecole Hardman. This is, I'm assuming, going to be more of a value free agent signing. We haven't seen the terms of the contract yet, other than that it's a 1-year deal. I know you had the opportunity to throw him on as well. What did you see from his film?
Yeah, I mean, if we all know the floor is what one of his big sayings. He's got a handful of them. There's no block, no rock. I don't think Hardman's getting the rock very much. We'll see what shakes out there. I mean, this feels like more like he's fast. So you say like, okay, he's the speed that they're missing. You know, Watson's out. You want a guy that runs fast. You still need to do something to get on the field offensively. And even then, I was looking at his ADOT, his average depth of target, 2024. First of all, I think 2023, where he played more snaps, was what, 7 yards. So like, not high for a guy of his speed. 2024 is ADOT was -0.5. Everything was gadget stuff. Like,
yep.
Everything was behind the line. His run stuff, I watched 2 years of run block snaps, so 2024, 2023, which is not a ton, but it was over 100 snaps. So you get a pretty good feel for a guy. They used him as RPO stuff. I think in that time, I saw him try to throw two blocks. One of them was one on a defensive back that he got walked back on, and then another one was where he was supposed to crack down a linebacker on like a pin pole thing, which we see all the time from the Packers. Packers love that stuff. And he went to crack the linebacker. The safety rolled down. He wasn't sure who to block, so he just didn't block anybody. So it's one of those things, like he was not asked to block very much, so maybe he's got that in his game, but I think the reason that he was not asked to block very much based on the little we've seen is he's not good at blocking. So this feels like returner only. Some of the spread packages, you bring him in as speed, but as far as like base offense, I mean, my other thought was he's smaller. I think he's 5'10", good at the gadgety stuff. Like, he does have speed, lots of good jet sweep stuff. If you use him on that stuff, that frees up Jaden Reed to do a little more like wide receiver stuff, which would be cool. But I don't know if you want Hardman and Reed on the field at the same time all that often, because neither of those guys, I mean, Reed tries to block. He's not very good at it, but neither of those guys can block. And the first whole thing, unless it's obvious passing downs, is you want to sell the run. And a lot of condensed formations, you need to be able to at least like be good enough blocking to lose slowly. And I don't think you want both those guys out there in those situations, because then the offense is like, well, they're not running. Or if they're running, we're just going to kill it. So this feels to me like a spread offense, limited package stuff for Hardman and then returner. I would love if he's out there a little bit more. You could use that speed, but just based on his skill set and the way the Packers like to play, I don't see him out there very much.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I, depending on the contract, I think there's still a world in which he has to earn his way onto this team, depending on what they do in the draft and depending on, again, what kind of guarantees he has in his deal. The one thing I know, Kansas City, like you said, they didn't use him as a blocker. That if he was in on a run play, he was used as a decoy. So they would use him on fake reverses, fake jet sweeps, things like that, just to bring a defender with him. And it was almost like he was blocking the player, even though he didn't have to block the player. So I'm sure Green Bay could do a little bit of that stuff with him as well. But sometimes that becomes limited as well. The player that comes to mind, 5'10", 185. Tyler Irvin, kick returner, punt returner, used a lot as a gadget player. And you might think, well, he was a running back. Mecole Hardman is a wide receiver. Again, very similar size, speed. In fact, Irvin was a 4.4 40 guy. Obviously, Hardman was a 4.3 40 guy. But you look at Tyler Irvin, he played 142 snaps in 2020 when he was on the team, you know, for the full season. 79 of those 142 were pass snaps. Only 14 were actually run snaps. They basically used him as that gadgety sort of wide receiver. And I think that this could be something very similar where Mecole Hardman gets 142 snaps, 79 pass, 14 run. And then I guess there were 49 run blocking plays as well on there, but more of like the pass heavy sort of plays. Line him up a little bit in the backfield, a little bit in the slot, a little bit outside. Maybe use him on some jet sweeps and reverses or fake those sort of plays to him. And then obviously kick returner, punt returner, just like Tyler Irvin was as well. And I'm glad that you brought up the fact that Hardman just does not, like, I see people say, oh, 4-3-40 guy, they finally found their deep field guy. Like, that is not who he is. He hasn't had a catch, I think, over 30 yards in like three seasons. So he is not that deep field guy.
No, he's not. No, and if all he is, again, is Swerve and Irvin part two, like, fine, that's fine. Sign me up. And again, if that gets Reed, if Reed lined him up in the backfield a little bit, like, he can do that stuff. But if that takes Reed off the jet sweep stuff, awesome. Like, if that's all this is, I'm totally cool with this signing.
Dusty, there's like 40 more questions that I want to ask you that we didn't get to today. So I'm just going to make you a permanent guest. So just clear 820 to 840 for the next, I don't know, like 4 years. And we'll sure. catch up soon. But I know you're obviously working on a ton of stuff. What do you got coming out over at Acme Packing Company, Packaday, or anything else you want to plug on the way out here?
Man, I'm trying to figure that out. Probably something on, I don't do a lot of draft stuff, and I'm trying to do some draft stuff. I did some tight ends, so probably writing up Harold Finn and Jr. at some point, maybe Colston Loveland, a couple guys I think maybe could fit into the Packers offense, and some fun stuff along the way. So that's probably what I'll be doing. Probably some draft stuff on tight ends, because I've already kind of done that work, and I just need to write it up at this point.
Well, I, for one, will be very much looking forward to it. You do incredible work, and it is always fun reading your stuff, especially your film breakdowns, which are second to none. I appreciate you a ton, and we'll talk again soon. All right, my friend?
I appreciate you, Andy. Good talking to you, brother.
Likewise. That is the Dusty Evely. You can find him at acmepackingcompany.com, Packaday Podcast. You can find him on social media at Dusty Evely. We'll be back to break down a couple other Packers news and notes in just a moment. This is the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.